This is Amber Rose Washington, music producer and author of the best-selling book, Hiding From Myself, and you're listening to the Ghosts in the Valley podcast.
Today's Halloween special was on the Crybaby Bridge from my hometown of Newton Falls, Ohio. Arlington Street Bridge is the oldest active covered bridge in Ohio, built in 1831. Unfortunately, a car wrecked while driving across the bridge and damaged a few of the supporting truss beams. It's currently closed and under construction at the moment. And as soon as the bridge reopens, I will do an episode on why it's called the Crybaby Bridge. So tonight on our Halloween special, I am pleased to announce I have occult horror author Eve Lestrange joining me as my guest. Welcome to the show, Eve.
Thank you, Al. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, I mean, I love your last name. Is that your pen name or?
No comment.
Okay. Okay. I see you've been interested in the occult and witchcraft as a very young child. And you read Edgar Allan Poe under your bed sheets with a flashlight.
Yeah, Edgar Allan Poe, H.P. Lovecraft, anything horror I could get my hands on. Horror comics.
So you would say, so your involvement in witchcraft and occult led you probably into what you write about.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've always been interested in witches and witchcraft, and I think it was just a natural progression.
Okay, so my question is, you know, while most young girls were playing with their Barbie dolls and I have you pictured with your Barbie doll looking like Alice Cooper or Marilyn Manson.
Actually, I didn't have any Barbie dolls. I had my sister's hand-me-downs. I really didn't play with them though. I used to pull the heads off just to see if I could get them back on. And most of the time I could.
How old were you when you knew you were different from the other kids?
Oh, I don't know. 5 or 6. I always loved horror movies and, you know, the first horror movie I saw was Don't Be Afraid of the Dark. It was a TV movie from the 70s, and I think that's what started it.
And do you consider yourself a witch?
Yes.
Okay, so could you, if you wanted to, put a curse on someone?
If I wanted to, I know how to. If I don't like someone, I'd rather just put them in my book and kill them in a really horrible way.
Well, that's a good thought, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because I asked this question to a past guest who was also a witch, and she said she could, but she wouldn't because she believes in karma. Mm-hmm. What goes around comes around. So it would be a dangerous move on her part, even though she probably could do it.
Yeah. But I feel that if someone wrongs you, you have the right to right that wrong.
Right. So you had said, you know, you had that you're one of your first movies you watched.
Don't Be Afraid of the Dark.
Don't Be Afraid of the Dark. Okay.
Yeah.
So what would you consider your favorite scariest movie?
Ooh, that's a hard one. There's so many of them. I really love The Exorcist, Bride of Frankenstein, you know, the classics, and more recently, the Terrifier movies. But I really like a lot of like supernatural horror mostly.
Yeah, when you're into horror and occult, I mean, that would be a tough question to answer.
There's just too many good ones.
Yeah, I think mine would probably be Night of the Living Dead, you know, only because that's was filmed only like an hour away from my house. You know, so I've been to Butler, PA, and seen the cemetery and been around that area where action still occurs, you know.
Yeah, that's cool.
Of all the books that you've read, which one stands out the most to you? Another tough one.
Yeah, it is a tough one. Probably anything by H.P. Lovecraft. The first book of his I read, it was called The Tomb and Other Tales. And I still read his stories. I've read them so many times, you know, but That's something that I definitely still go back to.
Now, would you consider yourself a pagan or atheist, or does it really matter?
I would consider myself a pagan.
Mm-hmm. That's probably the most of all the answers I've got off the witches that I've had on the show. I had a demonologist on the show, Bishop Long, a while back. He said there were multiple exorcisms performed in the Bible, yet the church does not want to preach about these. Your thoughts on that?
I think a lot of these problems, I think there are a lot of mental issues and emotional issues. Whether it's a demon or not, it's probably a very, very small percentage. I think most of it is mental and emotional problems.
Mm-hmm. And that's another thing, too, because he did mention that, because most of the time it is somebody with a schizophrenic or they have to rule that out first before they even dive into, it is a demon or anything evil like that. And even in my 40-some years I've been, doing this, I've only come across it maybe twice, because a lot of people can confuse a pissed off spirit just to a demon,
Yeah, I mean, they're evil people, so it stands to reason that there would be evil spirits. They continue to be evil after they die.
Yeah, and he also mentioned that the dangers of messing with a Ouija board, the many exorcisms he has performed were related to the Ouija board in one way or another.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that or disagree?
Yeah, I would agree with it. I mean, it can open a portal.
Uh-huh.
And something can come through that portal, and if you don't really know what you're doing, it's probably very easy for them to take possession of you.
And then if you don't close that portal.
Right. Yeah, if you don't close it, then you can have all kinds of problems.
Oh, yeah. So some of this research I've done on the Ouija board goes back to the late 1800s. Many family members used it to connect with their loved ones who were killed, say, in the Civil War. They never had closure, so this helped with creating some type of closure. Have you heard about that?
Not really. I mean, I know the Ouija boards, I know they go back, quite a way. But I mean, I think a lot of it too could be just playing on people's grief. They're trying to get a hold of loved ones that they miss. And, maybe they don't have closure.
Yeah, because I don't think that's the reason why the Ouija board was even invented, to tell you the truth. But because there was a couple other boards before that one.
Yeah.
So do you believe in life after death? Reincarnation?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't think we just, we just go away. I think we come back.
So what would be your thoughts on, a building or a residence that is haunted?
I've been in haunted places, but I've never seen anything, heard anything, or felt anything. But that doesn't mean I don't believe in it. I definitely do. I really can't say because I haven't really experienced that.
Yeah, see, my book I have coming out is my first book. And it's only taken, I joke about it, but it's only taken me 50-some years to write this book.
Congratulations. I grew up in it.
Oh, thanks. I show my age, too. But, growing up in a haunted house and my experiences. So it's basically based off of my life experiences as a 12-year-old to, a 16-year-old. And my life experiences inside and outside that haunted house, And I do say, unless you had some type of haunting in your life or experience with a ghost or spirit, you're probably not going to believe, I don't know if that's why it's taken me so long to put it out there. People like me and you've probably always been called crazy or out there or a little nuts,
Among other things, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's the way I'm being nice about it, Let's talk a little about your band, The Empire Hideous.
Yes.
As a musician, what was your involvement in that?
I was the bass player.
Mm-hmm.
And I joined Empire Hideous in the, early 90s. And I was with them for about 6 years. And then the band broke up.
Was it an unfortunate breakup? Because it was an unfortunate outcome what you weren't expecting? Or
it did kind of come as a shock because, Mike the singer, that was his life. His life revolved around Empire Hideous. So when he said he didn't want to do it anymore, it kind of shocked the whole band.
Mm-hmm. Was it like grunge rock or what kind of?
Oh, no, it was goth.
Gothic? Gothic, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I play in a classic rock band. I've been doing it for myself for over 50 years.
Oh, cool.
Still playing, still writing, still recording. But, you know, I know you've probably seen this out there too with all the sharks and vultures out there in the music world, just like it is in the writing a book. You know, so many people take advantage of you.
Yeah, that's true.
Did you write any of the music?
I worked on one song with Mike. He would come up with a basic bass line there, and then I would just add to it and, you know, put my own flavor on it.
Okay, I see you have an interest in history and archaeology.
Mm-hmm.
What led you to be interested in that?
I've always liked history, especially ancient history.
Mm-hmm.
One of the few topics that I actually liked in school. I loved, you know, Egyptian history, Roman history, Greek history, all that stuff.
So do you believe a building could tell a story?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Especially buildings that they excavate in like Pompeii, because they're so well preserved.
Mm-hmm. I was just in a haunted house this past summer. A person heard my podcast and had me come down to his house. It was like maybe 60 miles away. And it was extremely haunted. You know, I didn't need any equipment or anything. I could tell by going in there. And after doing research on this house that was built like in the late 1700s, they actually moved the house up the hill where it's now located with a team of horses on some logs, you know.
And oh, wow.
I believe they placed the house over Indian burial ground. The reason I say that is because he had dug up Indian artifacts in his garden and all this activity that's in the house. And he sees like something like a skinwalker running down the tree line every now and then. Yeah, I wasn't really prepared for that, you know. The house can tell a story if it's built over top of a burial grounds of some sort. Would you have a difference between what a cemetery and a graveyard is?
No, I mean, basically, I think they're both the same. It's they serve the same purpose, and they can both be just as haunted as a house.
Mm-hmm. See, I had that question asked, so I did a little bit of research on that. What I've been finding out is a cemetery is basically like for the community, you know, like a community grounds for people in that town or village or whatever, where a graveyard is usually on a personal property or it was built off the side of a church. It seems to me that almost every church that I have been in contact with that has this, there is activity inside that church. And I'm thinking is because in some churches, on how old that church is, some of these bodies were placed on top of other bodies. You know, how it goes. If you get more money and you want buried there, they just move the other body or bury you deeper and put somebody on top of you, you know. And I see a lot of these churches having activity usually in the basement or other parts of the church.
If someone got buried on top of you, you probably wouldn't be at rest either.
I guess not.
Yeah, you know, maybe they were killed and they never found the killer. Maybe they're seeking justice. It could be any number of reasons.
Right. Let's get to your books. I mean, I have your one book, Blood Moon Over the Chesapeake.
Yes.
I have that in my next Amazon order. So I am ordering that one because that looked very interesting. Now, is that a standalone or is there another one after that one?
No, that's a standalone. That takes place in Baltimore in the 1920s. I was actually going through some old family documents, and my mother's family comes from Baltimore. And it just looked like a really interesting place to set a ghost story.
Now, I've seen a couple other ones had something to do with Christina.
Christina Lafarge.
Lafarge, right. And was there three books on that?
Yeah, that's a three-book series. Right now, I'm working on a prequel to Widdershins, which is the first one.
That was my next question. what do you have coming up? Like any book signings?
Not until March. We'll be at the next Monster Mania convention in Cherry Hill. That's in March.
And where is that at?
Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
New Jersey. Is that where you're from?
Well, I was born in New York. My family lived in New Jersey for a really long time, and then just maybe 7 years ago, we moved out here to Pennsylvania.
Where can people go to find out more about you or pick up your books?
They can go to my website. It's evelestrange.com. There's links on there that'll take you right to Amazon to buy the books. Or if you want to download an ebook, there's a link for that too.
Alrighty, I mean, I appreciate that. You have anything else you want to add?
Well, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. This is the Halloween special. So excited you came on the show, and I'm going to put your links at the bottom of this episode, and I wish you the best of luck and good luck on your next book.
Great. I hope you enjoy them. And thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Eve Lestrange, for being on the show. I will put Eve's links at the bottom of this episode, and please go check it out. She has some great books out there just waiting to be read. And happy Halloween. I'll see you in 2 weeks with another great episode on Ghosts in the Valley podcast.